Good afternoon, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the first episode of season 2 of the only inspirational podcast there is in my shoes. I hope everyone had a hell-a-let Christmas, and I wanna say Happy New Year to all my listeners. I wanna take this time to also introduce y'all to the In My Shoes Instagram page, In My Shoes 7422. That's all one word. Again, that's In My Shoes 7422. One word. Be sure to head over there to see the faces of our many guests from season 1 and today. Now introduce using the incredible, indescribable, my sister, Teresa Reed. She's here today to tell us about her and experiences in the UMI campus located in Jamaica. So that's Mona campus, as well as her career as a singer, and a little insight on her current endeavors. Teresa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, sorry. I forget is evening.
It don't matter. I don't think it matter.
How are you today?
I'm very tired, but I am happy to still be here.
And we're happy you can spend this time with us. And also grateful for the opportunity to walk in your shoes. I mean, you're barefoot right now, but still. So, how long was or is your life?
Well, I spent approximately 3 years in UWE. I'm still a student at UWE.
Yeah.
I'm finished all of my classes and that kind of stuff, but I'm still writing my thesis for my graduate studies program. Yeah, I spent 3 years across there in Jamaica, and I'm finishing the rest of the program home in Trinidad.
Cool. Tell us what courses you do or did.
Okay, so My program was agricultural entrepreneurship, so it basically focused on the business aspect of agriculture and industries like agriculture. The things that would fall in the category of industries like agriculture is like fisheries or forestry, or most of those jobs that rely highly on the environment, that are very, very risky. So the program itself looked at how you increase the value of certain things in agriculture, how to increase your value chain, how to expand it, how to manage your business, accountant. It was a really business-oriented course. As much as it was about agriculture, I didn't do much in the sun or anything like that. No tilling or soil or anything like that.
Give us some insights, like most of the audience is familiar with Trinidadian culture, but in Jamaica, is there anything cultural that resembles home?
Well, yeah. A lot of the things in Jamaica are extremely similar to us. They say the same things. They may use a little bit of different words to say it, but it's the same things. We may have more diversity in terms of people, and that's because of how we were colonized. But the predominant race or ethnicity in Jamaica is Afros, and that Afro community is extremely similar to what we experience in Trinidad. The food is extremely similar. We have more diversity, though, a lot more diversity. In terms of food and that kind of thing, but the things that they have is definitely the same thing. They say rice and peas, we see peas and rice. They have stew chicken, we have stew chicken. We have everything. There's only a few little things that culturally different. As I said, we are a more diverse people, so we have a little more culture diversity here, but yeah. In Jamaica they have one, so they have a stronger culture because it's a one predominant culture. But across in Trinidad we have the Chinese, we have the Muslims, we have the Chinese, we have the Indos, we have the Africans, and besides that we have the Amerindians. And then after when you put all that, you have all the different religions, whereas in Jamaica it's predominantly Christian.
Wow.
And the most predominant Christian church in Jamaica is the Seventh-day Adventist church, whereas in Trinidad we have a whole lot of Christian churches. We have Islam, we have, besides the Christian churches of course, we have Islam, we have Hinduism. We have a whole heap of different things that they can't begin to understand because of how diverse the country is. But other than that, most of the things are similar, and Trinidad is a country that tends to be very fond of Jamaica in terms of its culture.
Yeah.
So we love their music more than them. No, is you laughing? It's true. We love dancehall more than them. We love reggae, I feel, more than them. We jerk chicken is becoming very, very popular in Trinidad. We love the way they dance. We love the way they style their hairs. We are...
Jamaicanized.
Yes, I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very similar. And as I say, we were kind of colonized similarly. So the experience, the cultural experience in terms of the Afro-Trinidadians and the Jamaicans are very, very similar. Yeah.
Okay, so I would like to have a bunch more questions for this segment, but it's only 10 minutes a segment, and because I have more questions, I'm going to lengthen the time of this episode telling you about that. What are the differences in terms of culture?
Okay, well, as I was saying before, Jamaica is not as a diverse place as Trinidad in terms of peoples, and we definitely have a lot more different segments in our culture, in terms of the religious culture, in terms of the ethnicity and the different type of people, because we have all kind of people besides the main ones, the Indos, the Afros. We have a huge Chinese population. They have a huge Chinese population as well, but not like us. We have Chinese. We have a whole plethora of Asian people. They don't have as much Indos as we have. They don't have a strong Syrian community. They don't have a strong Amerindian community. They don't have a lot of things. So in terms of, and we have now growing, we have a growing Spanish community.
Yeah.
Right? So they don't know about the difference in cultures. They don't understand where we have a struggle in identifying what is Trinidad, a solely a Trinidad culture, whereas in Jamaica, they far fact know that ackee and saltfish is the national food. They far fact know that Bob Marley is the greatest performer for them. They far fact know that Christian religious holidays are really important to them. Whereas in Trinidad, we can't even, up to this day, even though we say in steel pan is the national instrument, we have the in the community saying no, it should be the tassa. And they don't have that type of quarrel because they don't have that much diversity. We are definitely a more diverse people than them. But they, because of the fact that they don't have that diversity, then that gives them an advantage where their culture is stronger. It's easier to teach the culture. It's easier to see the norm because there's not different norms. Whereas in Trinidad, if somebody grows up in an African home and they were never exposed to Indians, going out and seeing that and trying to get normalized, so that's gonna be weird, and it's the same thing. Whereas, so somebody in Jamaica, they will never have to face something like that growing up one way, then going to school and realizing, well, wait, it's not like this, it had other people, yeah. So, I think that's the main in terms of cultural difference. They have a very, very strong culture, and as I was saying before, it's basically because they don't have a diverse people as opposed to Trinidad.
When you consider Jamaica your second home?
Definitely. I would definitely consider Jamaica my second home, and I would definitely move back to Jamaica for a couple years or three. Not to stay though, I can't stay there forever. Trinidad too sweet for that, but I'll definitely consider Jamaica a second home.
Okay, so I guess my other question is answered. Do you think you'll be welcomed back in Jamaica?
What do you mean? It's a free place. I can go there if I want, whether I'm welcoming or not. But the people are extremely nice. They're extremely welcoming to foreigners.
Yeah.
It's a tourism-based country. So, yes, well, visitors being there is something that is extremely important. And they were extremely welcoming. Yes, we had our little back and forth about, you know, the Caribbean, the rivalry between Trinidad and Jamaica, but it's not serious, in my opinion, that is. And yeah, they're very nice people. They're very welcoming, very kind, and they're very friendly. Even though sometimes they may seem a little rough, they are very friendly, as opposed to Trinidadians. I don't think Trinidadians are as friendly as Jamaicans, unfortunately.
Girl, what about me? Constitution over there. Were you ever a victim of that or a spectator?
Listen, crime is everywhere. So when people say the crime situation, it's the same thing people say about Trinidad. What about the crime situation in Trinidad? But the fact is, there's crime everywhere, and one being in a specific place doesn't mean that you'll be victim to crime or experience it, right? I honestly and truly have experienced more crime, more dead bodies right here in my community. So anything that happened in Jamaica wasn't like, oh my gosh. You know, if you live in a hotspot community or a community known for gang violence, of course you may or may not experience shooting or something like that. I have experienced or seen people being shot and that kind of thing in Jamaica based on the community I was living in, but it didn't affect me in any kind of way because it was a community that is known for violence. And just like any other community in the world that known for violence, there's a higher possibility that you may see some type of crime. Because it doesn't matter what country you're going, and I don't think Jamaica has anything anything to be afraid of or whatever, because the truth is, you can experience crime anywhere in the world.
Before my next question, you wanna shout out your yard?
What do you mean shout out my yard? But my yard that I live in here in Trinidad?
In Jamaica.
Okay, shout out to all my Jamaican friends and my Jamaican family. You know, my love all you. Oh, Danik, if you ever listen to this, I shout in here. Kim, Simon, Candice 1, Candice 2, I know so much Candice in Jamaica, anyhow. Yeah?
Alright, so all men, yeah, them pick up on yourself, you know. Yeah?
Good try, though.
What inspired you as a Trinidadian to go outside of your country to study outside your comfort zone?
As I say, in Trinidad is a place filled with various cultures and that kind of thing. Yes, we get a specific aspect of it here, but it's really a different experience. I'm seeing the different cultures in the home places, and I think it's important in order to understand the people that you're around and to fully appreciate them, you need to try and live in their shoes or walk in their shoes or something like that. And me specifically choosing Jamaica was, I always had a problem with Jamaicans, and that my problem was solely based on what the media had told me about Jamaicans. It's the same thing before. I had a very narrow view of them. Okay, it happens to crime day, Jamaicans are so, they feel it better than us. And I had an experience where in Port of Spain, there were a lot of Jamaicans selling on the roadside, and they never wanted us to walk on the roadside. They really hustle us and that kind of thing. So I had a really negative impression on Jamaicans, and I'm like, I can't stand them. I think I should go to their country and learn more about them. That's a weird rationale, right? But I did, and I'm now able to understand them better. And yes, they are really and truly hustlers. And those people who are on Charlotte Street hustling, they hustling. The reason why they're hustling so hard is because they have a whole family to feed back in Jamaica. And
the money small.
No, it's not necessarily the money small, but the earning potential in Trinidad is much higher. We have a higher salary rate, I guess, in Trinidad as opposed to Jamaica, and the money goes a little bit further. It's not necessarily the same amount of money you pay for bread here is basically the same amount of money you pay for bread in Trinidad, in Jamaica, but our dollar could stretch further than the Jamaican dollars. And it's a very popular culture across there where mothers and fathers will leave the children with the grandparents, and they go to foreign countries to work to provide for the whole household. And some people, it's very, very, very stressful and very dire, and they need to get it done. So that's why you would find at any means possible they hustling to get that dollar and that kind of thing. So yeah, because of experiencing their culture and experiencing the reasoning unlike Trinidad, one of the main difference in the societies is that in terms of social programs and the help that we get from our government and the different social services and the different infrastructure that we have here is not necessarily available in different Caribbean countries. Trinidad is very fortunate in that sense that for example, electricity is something that we take for granted here in Trinidad. But let me tell you something, from Grenada or Barbados, go straight down to the Northern Caribbean, they pay extremely high rates for electricity, right?
Yeah.
Right? So, a lot of people, Trinidad is considered very high on our ranking in terms of what we provide for our citizens. Almost 99% of the country has electricity. In other Caribbean countries, that is not the case. Electricity and infrastructure for electricity is extremely expensive. That's one thing. Education is our next big thing. We in our region, which other country besides probably Canada in our region in the Americas could say that they have free education?
Beg up all the Canadians and the house.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with healthcare. Like, I can't get sick in Jamaica because it is extremely expensive for the simplest form of healthcare.
Maybe government don't pay them hospital bill.
No, it's
trust me.
Listen, healthcare is free to extend in Jamaica, to extend, right? And the healthcare service is stretched a lot. Just imagine if you have asthma across the kind of money, you can't get certain things over the counter because of different drug problems and different governmental policies and that kind of thing. So imagine you get asthma attack, you have to go in the hospital. If you can't afford the hospital or if it's not available or near to you, you have to go to a private facility. And when the charger they're giving you in a private facility just to get a prescription, and then after when you go to buy the Ventolin, you can't even buy it because it's so expensive. That's ridiculous. And whereas here, what we take for granted, home is like, for example, I live right next to the health center. If I was to get asthma attack now, I just walk down there, they send me to the next one, write a prescription, right in the day again, a free Ventolin, and my life. I don't even have to worry not one bit if I don't have like a money to spend. And that's the thing, we don't have to worry for certain things that these people have to worry about. And I'm not just talking about Jamaica, I'm talking about up the Caribbean. Social services that are provided in Trinidad is very, very, in comparison to the rest of the Caribbean, it is extreme. And we tend to take that for granted a lot. So, yeah.
Do you have asthma, though?
No, I don't. I grew out of it a long time ago. But I'm just using that as an example because that's a very common thing within the West Indies, asthma. And Ventolin is extremely expensive. But there are other things, other times, even something as CXC. When the government told people they could do CXC, people took advantage of the system, going, doing it over and over and failing, not even making a proper effort. Whereas in Jamaica, you can't do CXC for free. That's not a free thing. Your parents have to pay for you to do CXC. I think the government may sponsor, I think, maths and English or something. But if you have to spend your money for that, that's craziness. People don't do CXC 3 and 4 times in Jamaica. Once your parents pour on you, you had to make up your mind to do it one time. Do it that one time, they're paying for you. If you don't get it done, the next time you have to spend your cash and do it. So that's something I know we take for granted. The free education, the availability of the electricity, the availability of clean water all the time, proper roads, the infrastructure, the building, the actual building infrastructures that we have here is extremely, extremely, extremely good in comparison to what you see in other Caribbean countries. So yeah, go ahead.
And one when your emotions going and coming,
the first few months was extremely hard because, you know, you're away from your family, you barely know anybody, and it's a foreign place, you don't know what's happening, you're just lost. But as time progressed, from the first time leaving in the airport, people wasn't emotional. I'm not part of an emotional family. Everybody was happy, enjoy your time. After that first time, every other time it was just like, bye, jump in a taxi, go to the airport, go your way. Like, I even stopped calling, hey, home, mommy and y'all, I need to go home, Jamaica, right? So, wherever, it wasn't. But as I said, the first few months was extremely emotional in terms of being alone and having your family around and that kind of thing. But at the end, you know, you make a whole new set of friends, and, you know, that leaving there was kind of emotional as well. But, you know, that's life.
And Jamaica, yes. Knew me and know of, and Trinidad, knew me, St. Augustine, then yes, I knew me, and that's please.
Barbados?
No, the next you mean that just belly, but I can't love belly.
You want in South?
Yeah.
I can't remember which exactly. Do you want in DB? You in DB?
Yeah, DB campus. Then, yes, campus Mount Hope. Yes, my tech. Yeah, why not any of these new campuses?
Well, I wanted to experience a different culture, as I was saying before. Also, the specific program was not found in the UE down here, so that's why I decided to go to UE in Jamaica. That's one. And two, it's just a different experience. The UE campus life in Trinidad is not the same thing, because the UE campuses are broken up, right? There's minimum, yes, they may have campus activities and that kind of stuff, but it's nothing in comparison to what Jamaica has. All Jamaica schools, all the different colleges for the university are on one estate, right? So you have a more university type of experience as opposed to going to one of the campuses down here that are not together. So that's why I preferred UE Mona.
Okay. That means staying in hall or off campus?
Right, so I stayed on hall, but my hall was a private building. Meaning UE did not own my hall. They didn't regulate the rules and that kind of stuff on my hall. But it was on UE campus. It was a private company that built huge buildings similar to the ones that you see in Maloney. Tall, just as tall or even taller. Yeah, it was my worst decision. I didn't like it. Eventually, I really didn't like it at the ending, because I thought that they were... They were stressing out the students a little bit, because the prices was extremely high compared to what you pay on a UE hall. But in all fairness, the facilities were much better.
Yeah.
But I stayed, my building was on hall, but I was not on hall. Like how being at a traditional hall in UE is.
And you formed bonds, you mentioned that when shout out. What lessons you took from Jamaica?
One of the main thing is, okay, the neighbor decided to cut the grass right now, that's terrible. One main thing was, everybody was different.
Yeah.
Good day. This product is brought to you by the amazing people at Anchor. Anchor is a free app where you could not only listen to your favorite podcasters, but you yourself can become a podcaster. Anchor will distribute your podcast among other platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. Download the Anchor app today.
Do you need a bit of inspiration? Well, you've come to the right place. Because you see, In My Shoes is a place where we discuss the goals, accomplishments, and struggles faced by ordinary people just like you. So let's take a walk together.
And welcome back to In My Shoes. This is the first episode of season 2, people. We are here with Mr. Mr. Reed. And now we're going to find out how is this active body staying busy. I think I put the words in the wrong place. But anyway, Teresa, what do you do now in terms of career?
I'm not doing anything right now in terms of career. I am still, a year after school has finished, I'm still writing my thesis because I don't have a supervisor. Lucky me. I'm looking for jobs within my field. So besides being pursuing a master's in agriculture entrepreneurship, I have a bachelor's in marine biology. I'm a certified diver. I know a lot about the coastal area and that kind of stuff, so I'm looking for a job within my field. Right now I work for a telecommunications company.
Yeah.
And that's it. Right now I'm just trying to charter a proper path for myself and decide on what it is I want to do, if I want to go in. Well, try and finish this master's as soon as possible. I want to see if I should go back to my marine field and do my PhD. Well, I already started research in regards to a PhD for marine science. So it's either if I want to do that or whatever. I'm just right at this point trying to make some money so I can make a move. Right? So that's it. I'm not doing anything in terms of my actual career, but actually trying to acquire money from my telecommunications job to, you know, actually make a move.
And if y'all were hearing something my Teresa spoke, that's a water bottle. You mentioned a telecommunication company. Would you like to share the name of?
No, that is why I called it a telecommunications company. No, I don't think anybody needs to know where I work. That's my business.
Okay. What motivated you to work with this company apart from all the other companies, telecommunication companies that are in Trinidad and Tobago?
Right, so I might be located in Trinidad and Tobago, but I actually work for a Bermuda company. The reason why I chose it is because it's what was available. We're in a pandemic, an economic crisis. People need jobs, so I got a job. And that was it. There was no other. If I got a job from another company, then I would have taken it. To me, it was about who was available at the time, who was hiring, who took me, who had the best pay. And yeah, and even though we're located in Trinidad, I work for the branch of the company that is in Barbados. I think Barbados, Bermuda.
Back to our previous segment, do you think the Peace Foundation would have been a career path for you if they didn't break up?
Well, the Peace Foundation did not break up. The Peace Foundation is functioning. The Vibe Squad is not necessarily that they broke up, it's more of a mutual dissolve, and the Keys Foundation was formed. So it's not necessarily that the Keys Foundation didn't break up. I still work with the Keys Foundation. I'm actually the financial director of the Keys Foundation right now. So it's not that the Keys Foundation break up, and the Keys Foundation is an NGO, right? So you need to separate the Keys Foundation and the Keys the Vibe Squad, because it's literally two different things. The name the Keys Foundation derived from Keys the Vibe Squad, but it's literally, as I was saying before, two different things, different people, different, it's not the same thing. But I am still at the Keys Foundation, and the Keys Foundation is an NGO, so most of the people that work with the Keys Foundation are people that are volunteering their times. So yes, I still work with them, I still volunteer my time. I am currently on the board of the Keys Directors, and yeah. And when in terms of a path, in terms of career, I don't know. If something comes up where I can work in a bigger NGO and actually get paid for my work and that kind of thing, well, yeah, that's cool. But at this point in time, it's not a career path, but it's more of what I choose to do with my time in terms of volunteering and that kind of thing.
Okay, so let's see the Vibe Squad picks back up.
The Vibe Squad is not going to pick back up. If it picks back up, I don't even think it will be the same artist.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It may have the same lead, but in terms of like the musicians and that kind of thing, a lot of the members are on different parts and that kind of thing now. So I don't think it will be the same thing. And even if it's the same set of people, they will be in different type of roles.
Okay, so I have been looking at the Keys Foundation's work for some time now, and it's really interesting. It's slightly different now since March. Has COVID affected your productivity?
Yes, I think we spoke about this in the last segment and we're talking about it again. I don't know why, but COVID slowed down everybody. Everybody, COVID slowed down. Everybody. And as I was saying, it slow us down, because remember, most of the programs is that we have to have contact with people. So we had to slow down, we had to stop for a little while and reevaluate how are we going to adapt. And as I said before in the previous segment, the foundation has adapted. Most of their programs are now online. We are able to now, you know, do what we have to do, but in a different method.
Working from home compared to going out every day. Are you more comfortable?
I definitely. Before you finish, you can. that money that I'm saving to go to Port Spain is a no-brainer. But the only thing is that it has so much different instructions at home. But I prefer the work at home 100 times. I don't have to get up and bathe and dress and all the kind of travel that you just have to do. You can go a minute before work starts and be at work. So I am 100% okay with this work at home. And the good thing about the company I work with, I don't ever have to go back in the office. Matter of fact, I never, ever, ever been to their office.
Do you think it's more productive? That's what I meant.
Do I think it's more productive? Yes, they still monitor my work. I still have to do a specific amount of work every day. I have to do my work. What do you mean? Matter of fact, being home, they throw more work at you because they think, okay, you don't have to fight up to come to the office. She can do this and she can do that. Like yesterday, I worked from what? 8 a.m. to 12 a.m.
Wow.
That is over 12 hours, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Then you have to do like an entrance exam.
No, we had to send your resume. We did training, and in the training, you had to, we have assessments. And if you did not, at the end of the entire training, if you all did your marks for the different assessments were not on top, they cut you and, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Thank you, Mr. Thanks for being here. Do you have any last words you'd like to leave with our audience tonight?
Yeah, pretty much. I'll say, not everything in life you can control. That's one. Two, it's important to give back to your community and volunteer your time, help out the needy. Join an organization, do something that gives back, in a positive way to your community. The other thing I would say is try and understand different cultures. It's important, especially in a multicultural society like Trinidad and Tobago. It's important to fully try and understand them. And when you understand, you will be able to really appreciate the different things that are offered here. The other thing is too is we have it so wonderful here in Trinidad, despite the different issues. Because everybody have issues regardless of the country. So regardless of the different issues that we may have, Trinidad is a wonderful place, and we should learn to love her some more. Trinidad and Tobago, right? Love her some more.
This is in my shoes. This has been in my shoes. We encourage you to listen more in season 2. Go on the Instagram page and yes, you what's up? Keep walking, guys. Stay beautiful.